Okay, now it's time for the first important principle from Napoleon Hill, and we're going to go in alphabetical order. That puts you right up to the top of the batting order, Alan.
All right, TJ, thank you. And, of course, the first principle is desire. I love the way this book is structured because, quite honestly, desire is everything. Nothing in this book is going to help you without the desire to first pursue your dreams, because that's what this book is all about. When I bought this book early on and ordered it, I had the desire, but I needed to channel it the right way. But I had the desire, I would never have ordered the book. You've got to have the desire, or you will not apply this book. So right off the bat, it's the perfect opening principle. Now, you can't just want change in your life either. That's what you'll learn as you study this book. You can't want it. Your desire has to be a burning, driving need to change. And your desire to succeed's got to be just as strong as the survival instinct. That was the one thing I really gathered from this principle as it was spelled out in the book that was so important to me. It's not just wanting to. Millions of people want to succeed. Everybody I know wants to succeed. The most lowly, unaccomplished soul I've ever met in my life wants to succeed and is actually living proof that merely wanting to succeed, wanting to be wealthy and famous or whatever, isn't enough. You have to desire success. And the difference is that survival instinct. Try this. This will help you examine your current wish for success. You have it, or you wouldn't be listening to this tape right now or this program. But turn that wish into a life or death need. Begin to imagine. If you don't accomplish your desire, it will result in death. I'm serious. This may sound a bit extreme, but you've got to remember that you have to pursue your goals as if your life depended upon it. The reason for this is that this is how the great success stories in this book were able to keep pushing forward, burning bridges behind them when necessary to keep moving forward. You've got to be willing to give up virtually everything to acquire that goal. Now, that's one of the toughies, but let's be honest, you've got to really want it. Then it's easy. And sure, there's people who win through luck. You hear about the lottery winners, but luck's an accident. Do you really want success in your life to depend upon an accident? Be serious. You can create your luck. That's what I love about getting. That's one thing I got out of this book I love so much. I love winning. Hell, that's why I spend so much time at the casino sometimes when I'm on vacation. I love to go down and win by luck, but it's pure luck. I would rather in my day-to-day life depend upon creating my luck, and you do that through determination. Now, Barnes became Edison's partner because he so strongly desired the partnership that he was willing to do anything, to endure any hardship, to take any low-paying job he needed to get into Edison's operation to eventually attain his goal. To him, it was life or death. It was his life's goal. And your desire must also be defined. Now, that's the other important lesson I pulled from this principle. You can't just want it so strongly, want success. Success is one thing, but it's so murky. You've got to define what success is to you. You must picture your goal, then define what you're willing to give up to get it, then plan the steps. Now, this is what, to me, makes this so brilliant, the way this was presented. Note what I said. You've got to plan what you're willing to give up to get your goals. Now, that's where the desire comes in. That's where the whole process of being willing to picture this as a life or death situation comes in. Because the reality of the universe is you don't get something you want without giving something up that you want. Now, this may mean giving up time in the evening to lay around and watch TV. This may mean getting up a little earlier in the morning to have an extra hour or two to work on your goals. These are the things you must start to map out to that you're willing to give up to get. You have to ask yourself, when was the last time you took a trip without first knowing clearly where you are going, desiring to get there, in other words, and then by knowing where you were going, mapping out the trip. In other words, taking the steps necessary to acquire your goal, which is arriving at the end result, the location where you're going. Now, imagine trying to make it to, you know, I'm going to plan a vacation and I'm not going to pack anything. I'm just going to head out in the car and see where it happens. That's fine if you like luck. Personally, I like to know I'm going to enjoy myself. So I pick a location I know I'm going to enjoy. I circle it on the map. I know how I'm going to get there. I have to take the steps to get there. I have to pack and prepare. Imagine your success goal is a trip. Picture the destination clearly. Then map the trip. This is where picturing is so important. You've got to know, I'm going to be a millionaire by age 39. I'm going to own my own business in the next 3 years. I'm going to show a profit. You have to set goals, and it includes a date and time. That way you have the destination, and you can then start mapping it out. Now, another thing I got out of this principle in reading and studying this chapter that was particularly heartening to me was the changed world to which Napoleon Hill referred. I mean, this was right after the Great Depression. He was referring to the world as we knew it being long gone financially and is never again, but creating so many marvelous opportunities. Now more than ever was an important time to take these steps. Well, good news, folks. The world has changed again. The world is in a complete renewal at this time. The internet, and because of it, home-based business, are now making it more possible than ever in Hill's lifetime he could have ever imagined for the little guy to succeed. That means it's now possible more than ever before in history to start with nothing and build a fortune. What a perfect time for Think and Grow Rich. But still, you have to have the desire. You have to take the 6 steps outlined in the book. Study them, make them a part of your life, and believe they will make you wealthy. They will. But know that now, more than any other time in history, this dream of yours is a reality. Making that a reality is more possible than ever. Believe you can, know you can, then be willing to do whatever it takes without giving up to succeed. Just aim high. Eric, or I'll just pass it out now for, I guess we put it out now for open discussion on this principle.
Oh, absolutely. Let's talk about this. Does anybody have something that's burning? Anybody have a burning desire to share anything that Alan, to expand on anything he just shared?
Sorry, it's Randy here. I have a quick comment. Alan, you talked about in the book, talks about maybe, again, not in these exact words, but this is what I get out of it, and we all get something different, but I have a feeling that most people will relate to this, that you need to be willing to do whatever it takes to get what it is that you desire. And this is something that boils down to tenacity, you know, the willingness just to keep persisting. You know, we don't always find a straight, easy path to what we desire. And quite often, what is desirable to us is desirable to others. And the reason that the others are not achieving it, although you will, is because you're willing to do what it takes to get what you want. That's really all I wanted to say at this point, is that that's what that means to me, and I know it's worked in my life. I mean, of course I'm talking doing whatever it takes within your moral, you know, makeup, etc. You're not going to go and do something that goes directly against your grain in order to get what you want. But you are willing to sacrifice, maybe put in longer hours, maybe have faith, which again is another big part of the principles of Think and Grow Rich. So that's what it means to me.
Well, Randy, I wanted to just mention, too, that I could probably expand upon my analogy of the trip. Picture yourself in the car. You've packed the kids and the wife in. Everybody's anxious for a great weekend at the beach, and you're on your way, and there's a detour in the highway. Many people run across a detour. Would you just turn around and go home? No, you'd probably find another way to get back on the road and get around the detour and keep going. That's the same with achieving your goals. You map it out. There will be detours along the way. We'll stay informed there and just say, you're going to meet detours. The road is littered with detours, probably. It's that desire that will keep you finding your way back to stay on the path.
Right, and it'll allow you to do things that most people will never do. And you see, this is the one thing that's helped me more than anything else. You talk about detours, and I think of them as roadblocks sometimes. Or certainly they are roadblocks to most people. Most people run into any kind of an obstacle, and immediately they give up. They look at these obstacles and they say, "My God, I can't handle it. This is just too much for me." And the truth is, if you wanted it bad enough, if your desire is strong enough, then you're willing to go through, around, or in many cases, you're willing to do whatever it takes to make it through. And people look at entrepreneurs and they see these guys sometimes like as having superhuman qualities. And the truth is, what they have is superhuman desires. I mean, their goals and their desires are so strong that they're willing to go through things that other people aren't willing to go through. And I love what Richard Bach says. He says that the more I want to do something, the less I call it work.
Absolutely.
And I love that quote because that's kind of like desire. The more you desire something, the more you're willing to go through 10 tons of crap to get it. And if you desire it strong enough, am I right in this? If you desire something strong enough, nothing, almost nothing can stop you.
Well, that's so true. And, you know, in this business, all of us are helping other people become entrepreneurs. And a lot of times on the Internet is what we're focusing on a lot these days. And, you know, and I will hear someone else say, "Well, you know, I bought so-and-so's program and I tried it and it didn't work." And, you know, like I'm supposed to commiserate with them? I mean, I just stand there intentionally waiting for them to continue because the fact that it didn't work, probably, of course, they didn't work it. But it's not, I mean, in the life of an entrepreneur, in the life of someone who is thinking and growing rich, who is going somewhere, there is no such thing as it didn't work because all that was that didn't work. Now, here's what I'm doing now.
No. That's right. Remember, we said before it was an outcome. All they got, they didn't have a failure, they just had an outcome. And they take that information and reuse it. But this step, to me, is the most difficult for most people in the entire 13 steps. The number one question I get from people that I'm talking to who are trying to get started in business is, when they say create a product about something that you're passionate about, they say, "I'm not passionate about anything." And they look and look and look, and they can't find anything that they are real excited about. Well, if they can't get excited about something, if they don't have that burning desire, this isn't going to work. And I thought it was very interesting when Randy said, "Well, I already had the desire," and I think that's correct. I think that so many of us had the desire, but we never remember not having the desire. But there are people out there who don't have that desire, and this first step is a really killer if you don't have a burning desire for something. And I think that's the deal closer for many people. That's why this book, they read it and then they don't take action because that desire is missing from the get-go.
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you, Napoleon Hill knew that that was a big problem, and in this chapter is a 6-point formula for creating that desire, for creating those seedlings of thought that can manifest and grow into wealth. And most people who read the book don't even answer these 6 questions. If you answered these 6 questions, listener, hint, hint, you would be on track. And then it just becomes a matter of pumping more fuel to it and making the fire bigger.
Well, in fact, once you've done the steps to create that desire, you'll never be faced with that question again of, "Gosh, I'm not really passionate about anything," because you are. From the get-go, passion is now driving you forward, and desire is a part of that. You become passionate about the pursuit of your goal. It's so important.
I think that Napoleon made desire first in the book because he realized nothing great could be accomplished without it. And,
absolutely.
You know, Harvey Firestone tells an interesting story. He's the guy that started Firestone Tires, which is still around today. And he had a vested interest in Henry Ford being successful to make cars for the masses because he was going to put the wheels and tires on the cars. And he said concerning Ford and desire, he said, I've never saw a man in my life like Henry Ford with this much desire to achieve his goal of making cars affordable to millions and millions of people. He worked day and night and had a single-minded purpose. And, you know, Henry Ford was often criticized as being uncouth and uneducated guy. The media despised him. They thought of him as a person who'd never gone beyond the eighth grade, and he was stupid. He used to. One time he was going to go to Illinois to talk to the Congress there, the local state Congress, and he said he was going to Chicago, and one news person said, well, Chicago is not the state capital of Illinois. You don't even know that. He said, I've got a lot of people working for me that can tell me where to go. They'll make my travel destinations for me. But he had this single-minded purpose and this desire to create cars for millions and millions of people, and he accomplished it, and it started with desire.
Well, yes, but he didn't start real. Henry Ford didn't start realizing some of his major life work until he got into his 40s. And if you study his success story, you'll find out that this is a man who experienced several major failures before he finally formed the Ford Motor Company and then had his tremendous change the world, actually, with the Model T. But he was willing to go through all of the crap that he had to go through, several business failures and personal disappointments that would have stopped most people dead in their tracks and caused them to quit, and he continued to rise above it, continue to move forward, until finally, when he did create the Ford Motor Company, that's when it exploded. And isn't that the same thing that in you guys, all of you guys, I know you personally, all of you guys have had many failures and many disappointments, and yet you've kept right on going. Hasn't it been desire that did that for you?
Sure. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. Desire. But yeah, desire, but there's also a realistic approach to it, too. And the fact is that nobody can assume that they're going to have a different human situation than everybody else who's ever lived. Desire is the fuel that keeps you going. Setbacks are part of life, and they are part of any task. In fact, Bill Gates said, and TJ, I think you've got this in your conference center up on the wall, you can't think about the problems in business because there's so many of them that you'd quit business every single day if you thought about that and focused on that.
Amen.
Hey, you know, right now my youngest daughter, Kyla, she's 10 months, and she's watching Shira, who's just turned 3 years old, walk around, and she's you know, trying to stand up and balance. I know you guys are, you know where this is going. And she has a strong desire to walk. And I'm gonna pretty much I'll bet my life that she's not gonna give up, even though she falls down quite a bit. Ultimately, within the next few weeks, she's gonna be walking. And that is innate in us as humans. It's part of us. And what happens though, unfortunately, later in life, some of us, we fall down and we don't get back up for whatever reason. And I think maybe that reason boils back again to the essence of what this whole desire thing means to me, is to be willing to go back and try again. And Thomas Edison comes to mind as well, somebody who he only had 3 months of schooling during his entire life. So, you know, he did not lack education. This is right from the book, actually. It's on page 109. He did not like, not the part about my daughter, of course. He did not lack education, neither did he die poor. And Thomas Edison always said, and someone help me out here, what was it exactly? He said something like, I didn't fail 1,000 times.
I just found out 10,000 times what wouldn't work.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank
you. So it's tenacity. It's just being willing to try and tweak and just keep getting back up, just like my little Kyla.
I wanted to make a point real quick about making a definite goal, though, too. I mean, one of the things that really stood out in my mind when reading this chapter was the general in the army that when they landed their boats upon the shore, he ordered his troops to burn his ships because he had a definite desire to win this war, and actually to the point where he took away any hope of his army retreating by getting rid of their form of transportation. And I think Edwin Barnes did that as well when he climbed onto that freight train. I mean, you've got to remember, if you put it in perspective, think about somebody that, you know, very poor, doesn't have, you know, the finest clothes, doesn't even have transportation, climbing onto a train or getting some method of going over to Bill Gates' house and trying to hold a meeting with this guy and convince him that he's a man that needs to, you know, that he needs to work for. I mean, that's a very scary situation if you put yourself in those shoes and just imagine your idol and that you want to work for that individual regardless of the situation. That man overcame some serious obstacles just because he had made up his mind that he's either going to do that or nothing. I mean, in all reality, he just did not give himself the ability to fail, and because he had that desire, you know, failure wasn't even an option.
Well, now, I was shocked to learn that Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon.com, actually, before he started on that ambitious project, quit a $1 million a year job.
Isn't that amazing?
Walked away from it because he's had this vision he had to pursue. And the interesting thing he said was, I thought this was so intriguing, he said that he examined the outcomes of his action. In other words, staying at that $1 million a year job, would I regret not attempting this goal of mine, this dream of mine of building this internet empire, would I regret that more than losing the job? And it won out. He said, I would have regretted not having done it, even if I failed.
There's
Talk about
and,
desire.
That's faith and desire working hand in hand there.
Hand in hand.
Well, and that's a good place to wrap this up. I love what Alan shared. It was kind of an off-the-wall idea. It was different. You know, it was out in left field a little bit. Some of our listeners may have raised their eyebrows, but it's a great thing. I want to point it out if you didn't catch it. What if somebody had a gun to your head? You know, what would you do if somebody had a gun to your head and they told you that you had to do something or else? You would do it. And that's the power that desire has too. Because with a strong enough desire, you can do things that right now you may think are impossible. You may actually believe that it's impossible to make millions of dollars. But I swear to God, if you'll get enough desire burning inside you, you'll go out and do it. It's a great first principle. And now, go on to the very next principle. Okay, Eric, now you're up to tell our listeners about the second of Napoleon Hill's powerful 13 principles to build wealth.
Thank you, TJ. I'm going to talk about faith today. And until I read this book, until I actually dove into the chapter on faith, I was always under the assumption that faith was kind of a blind belief that you just follow, that it's kind of ingrained in you. But I didn't really realize that in all reality, you can program yourself and acquire faith for virtually anything. I mean, Napoleon actually goes into the chapter and talks about how you can actually have faith in something that's wrong as well as right, and that, you know, almost you have to be very careful when you're thinking about it and programming yourself. I mean, I really think about faith now, after reading this book, as something you totally have control over. And the way I'm going to approach this is actually I want to just kind of go through a couple of the different parts of the chapters, this chapter that actually stuck out in my mind, and pass them on to you. One of the things that really stuck out is he defines faith as being something you can actually develop. He says that faith is a state of mind which may be induced or created by affirmation or repeated instructions to the subconscious mind through the principle of autosuggestion. Now, this is where we get kind of, in a gray area, and this is probably what Russ's friends, when he referred to that in the introduction, they said a lot of this might be BS. And if you're not real familiar with, you know, the subconscious and understanding how you can program your mind and overcome the physical realm, you know, you really got to be open to these ideas in order to internalize them. And that's really one of the bases of faith as well, is being able to talk to your subconscious mind and make suggestions. There's another excerpt here that says, all thoughts which have been emotionalized, given feeling, and mixed with faith begin immediately to translate themselves into their physical equivalent or counterpart. So if you have a desire for something and believe it, it will become a reality, not it can become a reality. And that's your reality. One thing you have to remember is you are building your own reality through your subconscious mind and programming yourself, and if you believe strongly And he goes into this in the chapter as well. If you believe that you're going to fail, if you think that society has it out for you, guess what? You're going to get exactly what you feel, you know, that you deserve there. You've got to just internalize the belief that you have what it takes to accomplish your goals. And this is very interplaying with the first principle, desire. If you do not desire something tangible, something that's actually your definite goal, something you've defined, and you'll remember that as you read this, you'll see that Napoleon says to actually physically write down exactly what you want to attain, because it's very, very easy to actually remind yourself, and that process of just physically writing it down makes you focus. Another thing that I wanted to talk about here is your belief or faith is the element which determines the action of your subconscious mind. You have to believe what you want to happen can truly happen. And if you don't do that, your subconscious mind will not take action. So it's kind of one of those situations where you can't just want, and Alan referred to this in the introduction. He said you can't just want to make money. You have to believe and know that you can make money in order to achieve your goals. And that's the kind of thing that makes you take action. Faith is a great motivator. It actually forces you to take something that otherwise was just an idea and really get you to take action. And there's another excerpt that he says in here that faith is the eternal elixir which gives life, power, and action to the impulse of thought. So just really internalize that and remember that if you don't truly believe, if you don't have faith in yourself, you're already lost because you will become what you think. And, you know, a lot of this is gray area, and a lot of it's kind of, it's definitely psychological and philosophical, but really dive in and understand what you believe and go back and really focus your desire and write down those ideas, what you want to happen. You've got to remember back to the desire in the first chapter we talked about. Barnes would have never gotten to work with Edison had he not had faith in himself that he could achieve that goal. So really, I urge you to go out there and define your own path and believe in yourself, and you can achieve any goal. With that, I'm going to kind of open it up.
I would like to say something about written goals. I have a lot of experience with writing goals down and not writing goals down. And I can tell you positively, unequivocally, that without writing the goals, without having written goals, you are shooting yourself in the foot. For years and years, I thought that was an unnecessary part of the step. I don't have to write it down. I know what I want to accomplish. I know where I want to be. I don't have to write it down. Believe me, I have written them, and I have not written them. And there's all the difference in the world. But there's also something about writing them down that's not mentioned in this book, because I think it's a discovery that came a little later. How you write them is also very important. Most of us will say, I want to have, I will have, I'm going to have, and that's not the correct verbiage. You want to say, I have $1 million, I have a new car, I have a successful business. You must already state it and claim it for it to have maximum effectiveness. Will is in the future, but you must claim it now and let these principles work to deliver to you what you need.
Yeah, you know, and some people will say, well, how can I imagine that I have $1 million and that I'm living in this megalithic house and that I'm driving the car I want and I have freedom with my schedule? And the reality is, if that's what you want, those should be the richest moments of your entire existence. If you don't have them, it's like the prisoner that's in a cell dreaming about playing golf, dreaming about freedom. That is his or her only respite, only recreation. So if you, who are consciously creating wealth, if you can't build up that in-stateness, which Don's talking about, that seeing yourself with the money, hearing other people congratulating you for your achievements, if you don't pre-program what's going to happen at certain times in your life, you won't have the desire because you haven't done what you want to do. On the other hand, you can imagine it. That should be the greatest thing in your entire life, to be able to imagine that, if that is your desire.
I love the story about Jim Carrey, the comedian, and maybe you are familiar with this already, but when he was very unsuccessful for, like many performers are for many years, he wrote himself a check for $3 million, and he put it in his wallet, and that was the check he was going to be able to write when he got his first major contract. And he carried that check in his wallet, so therefore he saw it daily, for years. When he landed his first big movie contract, it was for $3 million. And he was able to, in his mind, finally cash his check. Well, he just used a very creative way of writing down his goals. Maybe he couldn't imagine what it was like to have $3 million, but he could sure look at his wallet, and he could sure see that check for $3 million.
Good point.
Yeah, it confirmed his plan. I mean, there was a visual aid that confirmed.
That's right.
It was desired, backed by faith, combined with writing down your goals. And I too have had much greater experience of greater success when I write down my goals and when they're specific and when they're reasonable, but a little bit of a stretch, and when there's a time limit on it. So specificity is real important there, and Jim Carrey was really specific with the amount. You know, the principle of vision is in here as well, which works right in with desire and faith. These things work.
Well, yes, they sure do, and you know, Napoleon Hill is such a genius because he puts things in their logical, profound order. He says, you know, first he talks about desire. You have to have that. But then it becomes apparent that desire is not enough unless you add faith to it. You can desire things all your life and not achieve them. But when you start believing you can achieve them, then you're matching faith and desire, and you can really have your heart's desire. That's why I love that saying that you hear from time to time now that says, most people, they say, I'll believe it when I see it. You talk to people, and those type of comments come up all the time. Oh, yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. But the really successful person and the person who knows the power of mind, they say just the opposite. They say, I know when I believe it, I will see it.
Right. But something about else that Randy said was like, be specific and put a time frame on it. That seems to be very important. Some people set their goals, even write their goals, and then they put a time frame on it. But then when it hasn't happened in that time frame, they give up. They quit. And I heard it explained this way, is that take a seed, and you plant a seed, and it takes a while for it to germinate and to grow. When the farmer plants a seed, he knows exactly how long it takes to grow, to germinate and grow and produce a plant. You know, if it takes 3 months, 28 days, whatever it is, it's the law of the universe. It grows in that time period. However, your ideas, we don't have the experience on how long they take to germinate. So therefore, you are estimating a time frame. When you say, I will have it in this period of time, you may. But it also may take more time for that to generate in your world. So therefore, you have to be willing to adjust that time frame. So when you reach that goal and that time and it hasn't happened for you yet, you don't throw the goal away and you don't say it doesn't work. You say, based on my experience now, I have to adjust that time frame. It wasn't as realistic as I first estimated. And then you make adjustments. But you don't throw the goal away and you don't stop putting a timeline on it. You just make adjustments.
Well, and Don, I've got an example from my own personal life to illustrate that, if I could.
Sure.
Okay. I had a goal that I wrote down in 1996, and I stuck it on my refrigerator so that I could look at it every time I opened my refrigerator. And it was a 10-year goal. Well, as the year 2006 had approached, that goal started becoming more and more and more real to me. And I would have to say for the first 4 or 5 years, I really didn't pay that close of attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
But as 2006 approached, I kept looking at that goal, and it kept driving me crazy. It was like a little splinter that just kept bugging you. And I realized that it looked like it was a little bit too big of a goal. And I did just what you suggested. I became very, very depressed, and that's how seriously I took it. I just completely got so depressed because I started realizing I probably wasn't going to hit it. And then I said, look, it does take time, and some of the skills and the knowledge and the experience, I still have to develop some things. There are some things that I still have to work on myself, and some other things that have to materialize before that goal can be possible. And so all I did was I added just another timeline onto it. And it wasn't so that I could just lay back and give myself a break and just take it easy now and say, oh, thank God I got that off my back. It was just because I realized what you said is true, that, you know, so many people like me, I had a desire and a goal to make millions of dollars, but I had no knowledge, I had no special training, I had no special abilities, I had average intelligence, or some of my friends would say that I was giving myself a little bit too much credit with that. And so I think that it does take a while, that people don't realize that what you said is so true, that in order to reach the goal, sometimes it does take a little time, and that's where faith comes in.
Right.
You got to just keep believing it and keep.
See, you hadn't done that before, so you didn't know how long it was going to take.
It was just
just made an estimate,
and it was a wild goal. It was a huge goal, and finally the anyway. Can anybody else share or relate to that story at all?
You better believe. I think all of us can, of course, who try and do that. But you know, one of the things I wanted to be sure and get in while we're talking faith is one of the challenges I've seen certain people have, and in this culture, most people are religious. Is that they think faith is a religious thing. Well, in the way it's presented here, it's really not that kind of thing. We're not asking you to believe because I say, or believe because, it's written in some book, or believe because we believe that so-and-so said it. What we're saying, it's more like of a knowledge, just a knowing kind of thing. And to give a personal example, kind of like following along TJ, I know that I see most people not being successful. Now, when I went to my first high-quality marketing event, I walked out of there, and within 3 weeks, I went in and quit my job because success was already happening. Little did I know, again, this was my first one, so it wasn't like I had a big network or anything. Little did I know, I started seeing some of the other people that I had met a couple years later, and I was expecting they would all be, you know, doing the same thing I was. And they were, how did you make it work? You know, I tried. Well, there was a big difference. They set out, really, to prove that it wouldn't work, to prove that it was too good to be true. That it would work maybe for the people that were teaching it, but not for them. Where, on the other hand, I took that, and forget this religious faith, that's a completely different compartment of my life. I have my own beliefs, and that wasn't involved in this about money. But I had the faith. In other words, I had real people who told me what they were doing to do it. I knew it would work. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a belief. It's a knowledge. I went out and did exactly what they said to do, and it worked. Exactly like they said it would work. Amazing. But if I had thought that it wouldn't have, I wouldn't have pulled the trigger and put that first $190 down on an ad when I didn't even have $190. You see where we're coming from.
Exactly. Hey, one point I wanted to bring up, guys, is, you know, one thing that everybody, that I really took out of this chapter was that Napoleon actually gives you a method of developing faith, which is kind of a new concept to me. Like I said before, I just thought it was something you were born with or it was just ingrained in you as a small child. But this is something that you can actually teach yourself through autosuggestion. And I had no idea that you could physically teach yourself faith. But one thing that I wrote, and I just wrote a little note down in the side margin here, is that you can't perform autosuggestion effectively if you don't have desire. And I think Napoleon hit it right on the head when he started with desire, because really your desire is your foundation for faith. If you're talking to your subconscious mind and telling your subconscious mind what you truly desire because you're programming it into your subconscious and you want it to become something you can have faith in, you have to have that desire or the whole thing kind of falls apart. So one thing that he also goes on to say that is that faith is a state of mind which may be induced by autosuggestion. So by doing that autosuggestion, you can eventually have that faith. And with faith, I would go on to say that autosuggestion becomes auto-truth. Because once you have faith in what you're doing, you can't help but achieve your goal.
Right, I like that. It can be developed. Just like going to a gym and working out, it can become strengthened. And, hey, Jeff, not to put you on the spot, but I do know you have so many great things to say. What it took a leap of faith for you to step out initially. I know your story. Any words of wisdom?
Sure. Well, the funny thing is it actually wasn't really a leap of faith. You know, faith is one of those things that I kind of had from the beginning. I don't know if it was developed or I just had it, but I always knew from a young age that I was going to be wealthy and happy and have this type of a lifestyle. And I never really knew exactly the steps to take. I didn't, you know, have the information. I didn't have the skills. I didn't have the expertise. But what I did have was the faith. And what's funny about that is that you discover that the information and all the expertise is not as important as the faith. Because there are tons of people out there that have the information, and there's books, and there's courses, and now there's the Internet, and there's so many sources of information. Now, everybody, truthfully, has all those resources available to them, but not all these people are millionaires or billionaires or successful. One of the keys is having that faith, knowing that you are going to be successful and that you're going to be able to find the tools that you need and put that in action. Believe me, it's really kind of a powerful confidence-building type of a thing because you never let yourself doubt yourself. Yes, you may fail. Yes, things may not work out. Yes, the big plans you have may crumble and fall. But ultimately, under everything, you have this very solid foundation of faith which tells yourself, yeah, this didn't work. These three things didn't work. These 30 things didn't work. But I know ultimately I'm going to be successful, so let's continue forward. We're going to move ahead, and one day, truly, I'm going to be successful, you know, in my life. And if you really focus on developing that, you can stop focusing so much on, I don't know what to do. I'm not an expert in anything. And believe me, once you have developed that faith using the Think and Grow Rich system, you're going to be able to get all the information, expertise, and help you need to build the life of your dreams.
I think, you know, that's the faith is inherent in any successful person because nobody ever has everything figured out when you jump into business. And really, when you jump into anything in life, people who want to wait for every single plan and every single thing to be worked out to a T before they jump are never going to jump. It never happens. So faith is a very important element because if you don't have faith and you don't believe that you are going to end up in the end where you want to be, you'll never take that first step.
And you know what TJ said about, you know, adjusting the goals and that sort of thing. It's funny because this is a bit of an anomaly. It worked in reverse for me. I actually made my first million when I was like 22, 23, and I had never set that as a goal. But then I decided, oh, gee, that was good. Okay, and now I'm going to go backwards, and that was my goal. But then from there, I made a new goal, and then I found that it was a lot quicker. Now, it's known that making the first million is a lot harder and then the rest come easy. However, it wouldn't have been as easy for me had I not then applied, you know, reverse goal setting and then forward goal setting and adjusting all along the way because I never did, I don't think there's ever been a time really other than this one time I worked in reverse, which is totally cheating. There's never been a time where I haven't adjusted the goals. I've had to. And that might be because I've set my standards too high, like higher than I could achieve, and that's generally not recommended. But for somehow it works for me. But on the other hand, then with the tenacity of being willing to work all night, I've done that for weeks at a time, and maybe adjusting the goals is good. I don't know. I guess what I'm saying here is that don't be afraid to write down your goals because you feel that once you write it down, it's 100% inflexible. In fact, when you write it down, it becomes solid and it becomes very flexible.
Well, hey, and that's a great place to wrap this up. Please listen carefully. Go back and listen to what we just shared with you. And now we'll move on to the third very powerful principle that can take you from where you are now to wherever you want to be.